I know we've talked about it before, but it's one of those things that never goes away, and that's the problem of suffering. And oftentimes I'll have people come to me particularly discouraged or frustrated because they're trying to follow the Lord. They're actually trying to live out the gospel. They're trying to actually pray and be and grow in virtue and grow in their spiritual lives, and yet they're finding themselves with immense amounts of suffering. And they're so perturbed by this, or they're questioning, what is this all about? Why me? What did I do wrong? Why not someone else? And the crazy thing is that this tends to happen pretty often. St. John Chrysostom, a 4th century saint, he was quoted saying once, generally about this type of topic. He said, many are perturbed, perplexed, whenever someone who's pleasing to the Lord experiences any suffering that is terrible. And he goes on to say, but what these people don't realize is that those that are particularly dear to the Lord, it is their lot to experience such things. And we see this in the case of Lazarus. Lazarus, we sometimes forget, was a close friend of Jesus. And Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, they were disciples of Jesus. They were following Jesus. They believed that he was the Christ. They were trying to live out the teachings of the gospel. And in this story, we hear this. Well, it's a beautiful story. It's perhaps one of Jesus' greatest miracles of all. But as the story unfolds, we don't quite realize yet in the beginning that it's going to be a great miracle. Martha and Mary come to Jesus, and they say, Lazarus is ill, severely ill, on the brink of death. And Jesus responds in a very weird, intriguing way. He says, okay, I'm going to stay here for 2 days. And to put this in perspective, you know, Martha and Mary, they have seen Jesus heal people hundreds of times. They knew that Jesus did this kind of thing, that he was able to heal people. And so they're coming to him with an implicit request of, okay, are you going to heal our brother and your good friend? But Jesus says, this will not end in death, and I'm going to stay here for 2 days. And think for a moment, you know, maybe like your spouse or your mom, you know, might call you and say, hey, you know, so-and-so is dying, severely ill. We'd really like for you to come visit them because we don't know when their last moment's going to be. Imagine what it would be like if you said, okay, cool, I'll stay here for a couple days and then I'll get to it in a little while. It's not typically how we respond, but that's kind of what Jesus did. But he gives us a clue. You know, in one sense, he's revealing to us the great mystery of suffering, that even close friends of Christ will experience illness, suffering, and death. He does reveal this mystery to us that continues to be true even 2,000 years later in our own lives, that there is something mysterious about followers of Christ do still, in fact, experience the cross. But there is hope, because we know that, as Jesus says, it doesn't end in death. And he tells that to Martha and Mary. This will not end in death. Instead, the glory of God will be revealed, and the Son of God, who I am, will be revealed in God's glory. We know that it's through dying that we experience resurrection. It's through dying to ourselves that we experience new life. And this is a story of the gospel, but it's particularly true in the case of Lazarus. Because Jesus, although he has the power to heal, he chooses instead to permit Lazarus to die and then to raise him back to life, thus showing us that Jesus is Lord not only over suffering but also death itself, that he's powerful enough to even conquer death, which of course foreshadows his own dying and rising, which happens later. But I do want to just kind of bring that back to our own lives for a second. I mean, consider, maybe think back to perhaps your greatest suffering that you've ever experienced. Maybe that was something recent or maybe long ago, but just think back to your own life, the greatest suffering you've ever gone through. And during that time, was there ever a time where you kind of doubted your faith? Or maybe you didn't doubt, but you just kind of got angry at God? Or maybe you shouted out in a prayer like, "Why me, God?" Or perhaps, "What did I do wrong?" Or maybe in that time you looked upon other people's lives and you noticed that it just seemed like there was all these other people that weren't suffering, that seemed to have just such a perfect and easy life. And you start to just get kind of jealous and aggravated, like why is it so that they get to have such a life and here I am trying to follow Jesus, but this is what happens to me. And I do believe these reactions are normal and common. It's a human thing because suffering really is evil. It is a bad thing. It doesn't come from God. But yet somehow God still permits it. And what we know from the history of the church and the teachings of Christ and the wisdom of the saints is that we have a decision to make in the face of suffering. We are going to suffer either way, all of us. Even though it seems like there's those few people out there that just don't ever suffer, we don't know what's really going on inside of their heart. Every single human being suffers and no one is exempt. And although it's true that some may suffer a little bit more than others to a certain degree, we still all experience suffering no matter what. But we have a decision to make. We can either suffer on the way to Calvary or we can suffer running from it. And we are all called to be great saints. We are called to be so much more than average good citizens. We are called to be so much more than just typical, normal people in this world. Jesus invites us to an abundant life of grace. But that abundant life of grace will involve suffering. But it's through the suffering, united with Christ on Calvary, that we experience a new life like never before. We have access to the fruits of the Holy Spirit that come alive within us in a way that we could never imagine otherwise. At the turn of the 21st century, Pope John Paul II, wrote a letter to the world and kind of prophesied how we are going to progress moving forward into the new millennium. And in this letter, he particularly emphasizes what has already been emphasized before, but he really chooses to emphasize the universal call to holiness. And he tells us that this call to holiness, all of us, you and me, like becoming these great saints, there are four foundational principles that we are going to have to embrace in order to get there. There are four foundational principles that we can take upon ourselves in order to grow in the spiritual life and to become someone new. So I want to unpack those four principles today because I believe all of us have what it takes to get there. The first thing he says is that all growth in the spiritual life, growth in virtue, growth in prayer, getting closer to Jesus and being more faithful to him, all growth in the spiritual life is totally dependent upon God's grace. All of it. It starts with God's grace. There is absolutely nothing that we can do on our own. That if we try to just do this by mere human effort, we will fail. That it's all dependent upon God's grace. And the second thing he says is that although effort, human effort, is insufficient on its own, it is necessary. It is necessary. We must put forth some effort in this process. God demands that we cooperate with this freely given grace. Although we don't earn grace, although grace is a free gift, we sometimes could fall into that sin of presumption. Just thinking like, oh yeah, God is that divine mercy, you know, like good, merciful Father, and so he'll do his thing and I'll do my thing. And we kind of just get lazy in the spiritual life and don't do anything, and we just neglect to strive for greatness. The Lord does not desire that for us. Effort, although it's insufficient on our own, it is necessary. We must cooperate. We must participate with this freely given grace to grow in the spiritual life. The third thing he says, and this is so important, it's a difficult one. He says, much has to change. Much has to change in our life in order to be sanctified. Much has to change in our life in order to be healed and transformed. Much has to change in order for us to become a new man and a new woman. And that change is going to be hard. It's going to be painful because it involves us turning away from sin. It involves us being set free from unhealthy habits. It involves us letting go of control and taking a risk to actually trust in God's divine providence. It involves difficulty, and it's going to be hard. But as we do that, we will be purified. We will be transformed, healed, and set free. So the first thing, everything's dependent on grace. Second thing, our effort is necessary. Third, much has to change, and it will be hard. But fourth, it is so worth it. It is absolutely worth it. And I can speak that in my own life, that I would much prefer to suffer on the road to Calvary than running from it. That although it's difficult, the type of suffering with Christ is so much different than the suffering away from Christ, wallowing in sin. It is so worth it because as we are purified and go through that process of growth and transformation in Christ, we experience these gifts and these fruits of the Holy Spirit. We come alive, truly alive, and we learn what it means to really love, to make a sincere, true, and free gift of self to others and to God. We are given this experience of interior peace, even in the midst of great struggle and sometimes great suffering, we still have this stability within us and this inner joy that no matter what happens in our circumstances, that we have the joy of the Lord and that is our strength. It is so worth it to follow Christ. And so if you feel discouraged because of the suffering in your own life, if you feel beat up, worn out, overwhelmed and angry, I want to tell you, be not afraid. Be not afraid of the cross because God has so much more in store. That although externally we may suffer a bit, if we allow Christ to meet us in that suffering, he will bring us to Calvary and he will say death is not the end, but that it's through dying that we rise to new life. It is through dying to our narcissistic selfishness that we discover freedom in true gift of self. My prayer is that we would not be afraid of the cross, that we would not be afraid of Calvary, but instead that we would allow Jesus to draw us closer to him so that when we die, we will rise. Even on this side of heaven. Amen.